You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message. So Pastor James had to hold me back this morning from coming up because I'm excited to hear what Lakita has to share with us today. There were two P's that I heard when I was thinking about Lakita. She's maybe scared thinking about this, but the first P was passion. I think that Lakita, the first time I met you was at Costco. Do you remember that? Vaguely, yeah. Anyway, so I saw Lakita for the first time, and I noticed she had a shirt that said school of ministry on it. And so I was like, maybe she's from school ministry from Christ Community, which she was. But what I loved the first time I met her was the passion that she radiated. And since then, I've seen it just in everything, in her sermons she's preached here before, in her interactions with school of ministry, but also even just her job as she posts on Facebook about her ministry at her business, where she works, and it's just incredible. The second P that I love, and this is, hang with me here for a second, is perspective. And you're saying, wait a second, what's that all about? You know, how many of you guys know who Nick Foles is? Right, know who he is, right? He's the backup quarterback that isn't the backup quarterback anymore. My dad came up this morning to me before service, and he said, you know, I really feel like we need to explain to the church and really receive Lakita's word for what it is. It's not a backup word today. It's not a second, you know, whoops, pastor C's sick, we got to call on the replacement. No, her perspective is uniquely hers. It's uniquely purposeful for our church. That's another P, I guess three P is going on today. But, I'll say this, you know, I'm glad Lakita is not Pastor Steve today because she has the perspective that only Lakita can bring to us. So I am really super excited for her. So can we give her a hand as she comes up and pray for her? Yeah. Awesome. Let's just pray. God, we thank you for Lakita. God, we just thank you for her presence, her perspective that she carries today. And God, today we receive, as my dad said earlier to me, we dig in today. And we take a stand, and we open our arms, open our hearts to you and what you're going to speak through her today. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your ministry through Lakita today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me? Can you hear me loud enough? Is that better? There we go. You were prophetic this morning, just now, because the P's that you talked about is something that I'm actually working on, a women's conference. And those P's are in it, purpose, perspective, yeah, passion. So amazing. Thank you. That's so confirming to me. So how's everybody doing? Everybody doing good? You guys came out in the cold, right? I'll tell you, I've seen people post on Facebook, especially on Sundays, I don't know if I can make it out to church because it's so cold. I'm like, but weren't you at the farm show yesterday? You know, I try to keep those comments to myself, but there's some of my friends or people that I know. So you guys brace the weather. I'm so appreciative to be here. I love the Blair family. I respect them. I admire them so much. I had the opportunity to be able to teach under Pastor Steve in the School of Ministry at Christ Community. I'm an elder there down at the church, and I learned so much from him. And so I just admire him and Andrea, and the kids, love the kids so much. And I love you guys. I remember the first time that I came, you guys welcomed me with open arms. And every single time I come, it's just like going home, right? It's like family. And so I do have a word of the Lord for today. And I think that it is not, I think, I know that God is going to touch every single last one of you in some type of way. I believe it. And amen, I receive it. And I am the kind of preacher that if you talk back to me, I'll talk back to you. So it's okay. You can yell, you can scream, you can amen, you can high five, you can get excited. That's fine with me. So I think that it's important that we understand our purpose and our place as being a believer. We are not just here by chance, this time, this age. It's not by chance. It's purposeful. God is a smart God. He doesn't do anything by mistake. He doesn't put you in a family by mistake. Everything that he does is purposeful. So the title of my sermon today is The DNA of a World Changer. I love my brother speaking. Where was he? I was talking about the beds. Joel. Yeah, I loved how he was talking about his obedience and his faith brought about a change in many people. His obedience and his faith. And so that's the only thing that God is asking for us to do. He's like, I will give you the tools. I will give you everything that you need to accomplish what I've tasked you to do. I just need you to be obedient. And here's the thing. When he asks us to be obedient, he's not going to ask us to do something that is going to be detrimental to us. It's always going to be profitable for us. It may not be profitable like financially, but it's always going to be profitable for our spirit, our soul, and our maturity as believers. So when you think of the word DNA, okay, I'm going to try to say it. Now, my daughter may try to correct me. My crew's here. Some of my family came up with me. DNA, Kirsten, tell me if I say it wrong. Deoxyribonucleic acid. Is that good? Okay. It carries the genetic instructions used in the growth, development, functioning, and reproduction of all known living organisms. And so when I think about that, I'm like, okay, so God, when you were talking about DNA and you're trying to tell me that we should have your DNA and how we are to affect the DNA in our society and our culture, what are you telling us? And what he told me was that you are called to make a permanent impact in society. Like once you are long and gone, the footprint or the handprint that you left in this community or on your job will still be there. That's legacy. And that's what God's calling us to do. He's not calling us to just come to church and have a good time and have friends. He's calling us to meet, to energize, to strategize, and then go out in the world and make an impact. Literally make an impact. And I know sometimes we think about our children, we leave legacy through our children, and that is the truth. We are to instill in our family, but I believe that the Lord is calling us to greater measures to instill in other people's children, people who don't have parents, right? I heard the story of adoption, right? You're making an impact on people that you hadn't planned on maybe 20 or 30 years ago. But the Lord says when you're obedient and you do what I asked you to do, it's going to bring a lasting change. How many of you want to make a lasting change? Amen. All right, so I got one assignment for you. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you are called to be a world changer. All right. So you probably spoke to the one person. Now look on the other side of you and tell them you are called to be a world changer. All right, so you're probably saying, okay, Lakita, that sounds like a huge task. How can I change the world? Right? Who's wondering, like, can't change the world? I'm not a government official, or I'm not a CEO. How many of you know God has placed us in areas of influence that we can impact? And if we believe that, you will make an impact. I told my son this yesterday. He had a soccer game, and okay, I will be honest. Are there any soccer moms in here that coach from the sidelines? Amen. Or maybe football moms. Any moms? Any moms coach any sport from the sidelines. Okay. Now, I'll be honest and tell you, I don't really know the sport of soccer. I don't. But I learn a couple of phrases that I hear the coaches say, and then I kind of figure it out, and I just repeat them, right? And that sounds really good. Like, I'm like, up the side, stop, defense, offense. Doesn't it sound good, Kirsten? Like, I think I sound pretty good. So anyway, after the game, they didn't win their game, but my son did really good. And so he's getting a little embarrassed. He's such a leader, and I know that leadership is definitely on his life. It's been prophesied over him. And so I was telling him afterwards how you can lead your team without having to be the boss. Okay? This is what God's called us to do. Sometimes we think we don't have the authority to lead people. We're always leading people. And so I told him, I said, you have to first be what? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, people are always watching you. That's how they determine if they're going to follow you or not. And I said, you have to be a good follower. You have to be a good example. You have to be friendly, right? So I'm telling this to my son, and I'm thinking about it this morning as I'm preparing this morning. I was like, that's how we're going to influence and we're going to impact our society, is by making sure when people are looking at us, they see that our lives are genuine. Right? We're not just church-toting, Bible-carrying people. We're people that have the word inside of us, and we live it, and we walk it. to the point where people be like, there is something different about you. I don't know, everybody else acts this way, but you, there's something about you. Then that opportunity is like, that's Jesus. There have been plenty of times on my job that I've had to do conferences, and it's a secular job. And I've had to be at leadership conferences. And you know at the end, what do they ask the people? So where does your passion come from, right? Where do you have this energy that comes from? And this is a secular job. And so I remember the first time being asked, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? Like, am I going to say it? Or am I going to shy away from it? And I made a point that the first time I was asked it, I said, you know what? It's my faith. My faith rejuvenates me. My faith allows me to make good decisions, even in the midst of maybe in turmoil. My faith does that for me. And I remember afterwards people coming up to me and be like, you believe in Jesus, don't you? And I'm like, yes, I do. Right? People can identify and they know that something's different, but you have to live it, right? But this is what we're called to do. We're called to make an impact. We're called to change. So I want to talk a little bit from the text of Philippians 4, 1 through 9. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to it. If not, I'm going to read from it from the Message translation. I so love this translation. So just to give you a little introduction, Paul is writing this personal letter back to the church of Philippi. This is a church he had founded. We think that this letter was probably written about 11 years after Paul had founded the church. And it's believed to be that Paul was writing this letter from prison. And we know a lot of letters that we look in the New Testament, it's written from a place of imprisonment. But how many of you know that Paul may have been physically in prison, but he was not spiritually in prison? Right? We have to be careful, that's just a word, a little word right there, that we don't, because of our circumstance, sometimes we live in our circumstance. I preached this message one time, don't decorate your pit. Joseph didn't decorate his pit. He didn't plan on being there forever. And so sometimes what happens is we take our situation or our circumstance, and then we define our life by it. We make choices based on the turmoil that we could be going through. And the Lord is like, I don't want you to do that. These are temporary situations that you may be going through. Some of us could possibly be going through struggles now. Anybody have family? Right? Family's an automatic struggle sometimes, right? How many of you go to work? Amen, right? Sometimes work can sometimes, there could be struggles in work. But the Lord is saying, I don't want you to define yourself by your situation. Define yourself by who I've called you to be. Your identity is placed in Jesus Christ. That's where your identity comes from. We are rooted and grounded in the love of God. So that when I walk in situations or I walk in issues, the valley of death, I'm not going to fear because my identity is found in who? It's found in Christ. Okay. So Philippians 4, 1 through 9. I love this. My dear, dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy, and you fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track, steady in God. I urge Judoa and Sintinch to iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. And oh yes, Senskus, sorry about the names, guys. Since you're right there to help them work things out, do your best with them. These women worked for the message hand in hand with Clement and me and with the other veterans. They worked as hard as any of us. Remember, their names are also in the book of life. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you are on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. I'm going to say that one again. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice, this is key, put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Amen. So when I read that text, I was like, oh my goodness, there's so many nuggets in there. It's so rich. I'm like, God, what do you want your people to know? What is the DNA of being a world changer? How can we impact people? That title just sounds so big, world changers. How's that possible? Well, because each of us in our own realm of influence, if we impact, if we're obedient and do what the Lord calls us to do, guess what? That in turn impacts the world. Everybody doing their part. So what does that look like? How can people want to follow us without us having to tell people to follow us? How can we live a life so compelling that people will say, I want to follow. I want to know more about your God. I want to be like you. How can we do that? And these are the four things that I believe if we exercise, or as Paul was saying, if we put into practice, we will be able to have followers like that. Now, remember what I said. It's not about a title. It's not about a job title. It's not even about a church title. I'm not telling you something like you have to be an elder to do this. I'm saying you just have to be a believer to do this. The scripture says these signs will follow those who believe. It didn't say these signs will follow those pastors. It didn't say these signs will follow these evangelists. It said those that believe. And if you look at the New Testament in the early church, everyone was on deck. Everyone was participating. Everyone. There was no one that was excluded from preaching the word of God. There was no one that was excluded from laying hands on the sick. And so I believe that that is what the Lord wants us to do now. He wants to take up our cross. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be mighty. And he doesn't want us to fear. I tell you, every song and comment that was made in the service earlier today, I'm like, that's in my message. That's in my message. But that's what it is. It's like a crock pot. That's what I'm thinking like this morning is. It's like this crock pot. It's a word earlier. It's about trust, right? It's about letting go of fears. It's about doing those things that you didn't think you could do and impacting people. And God just puts it all together. You know how when you smell roast beef, when you put it in the crock pot and you come home and you're like, oh my goodness, it smells like heaven. That's what it is. That's what the Lord is doing through the church. He's like, I'm taking this gift. I'm taking this gift. I'm taking this gift. I'm taking this realm of influence. I'm taking your job. I'm taking your job. I'm taking your place of influence. I'm taking your school. I'm taking your school. And we're going to put it all together, simmer with the presence of God, his grace, his mercy, ingredients of love and ingredients of joy, ingredients of peace. And he's putting it together. And boy, when we come home, it's going to smell good. That's the church. That bride is a crock pot. So imagine if we could do that. Imagine if we say, you know what? I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to encourage you to do your part. And I'm going to encourage you to do your part. Imagine what the church, and I'm talking about the national church, imagine what the bride of Christ would look like. Imagine what our society and our communities would look like. And I'm not talking about it takes a lot of people. It takes all of us right here, right, that can uproot and change this whole community. Amen. Who believes that? Amen. So let's talk about the four things. The first thing I believe a world changer, these are the things that I'm saying that we have to practice, right? We need to stay focused and we need to stay on track. Now, I'm not sure what the disagreement was at the time with these believers, but Paul wanted to make certain that they were like, let's fix this. Let's come together. What are the divisions in your life or the people that you're divided that God says, I want that wound healed? Who are those people in your family that you kind of feel at odds with that the Lord's like, I've told you, we need to take care of this, right? The scripture says, do not hold grudges. And I'll tell you this. When we hold a grudge, we think that we're doing a service to the other person, right? How many times, or did you guys even realize, sometimes when we're holding a grudge against someone, they don't even know? They're going on about their life. And we think that we're punishing them by holding the grudge. But who are we actually punishing? Ourselves. And what happens is, what that does is holding that grudge against that other person, it actually puts almost like a blocker or barrier in between our relationship with God. Because our view about things and about people can be distorted based on an experience. But the Lord is saying, and he's telling us, get things right. Don't hold grudges. This is my word. Be unoffendable. Right? Let me ask you a question. Does anybody know how to be unoffendable? First, you got to be offended. Over and over. To be able to say, I'm going to live a life unoffended. If someone does something to me, I'm not going to think the worst about that person and be like, oh, maybe they forgot. Or, oh, maybe, you know, I'm not going to choose to live in offense. When we choose to live in offense, it turns into bitterness. And bitterness is bad. It changes our perspective on so many things. And it can even change our perspective on the Lord, how we see scripture. So the Lord is saying, hey, be unoffendable. Is that a word, unoffendable? It is now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So stand against false teaching. Stand against any type of division. Settle grudges. How can you stand against division? Okay, let's just make it really clear, okay? We're all family here. So if you hear somebody gossiping, what should you do? Stop them, right? Hey, you know, I don't think that's appropriate. Say the best of the person and then leave it there. I guarantee you most of the time when you tell someone you don't want to gossip, they're not going to want to gossip with you anymore. So let's build up the church. Let's build up each other. And not even just the church, right? We don't want to just do this just for us. Like, this is how we build each other up. But even out in the world. Okay, so let's go there, Lakita. We're going to go there. So at the water cooler, when everybody is engaging conversation about the boss, what do we do as believers? Walk away. That's right. There was a season at one time, and I'll tell you, anything I'm telling you is because I've been tested there. I had a boss that I didn't necessarily agree with years ago, right? And I didn't necessarily believe in their actions or things that they said and did. And the Lord convicted me bad. He said, you pray for Pastor Dave. And I was like, oh, yes, because I love Pastor Dave. You know, he's just so easy to follow. And, you know, he just teaches. And so I had this, like, great respect and honor for him. And, you know, I was all happy about my conversation with the Lord about it. And the Lord says, I want you to do the same for your boss. And I said, well, they don't deserve that because they're not honorable. Right, I'm gonna be honest. This is how I talk to the Lord. Like I was like, no, I don't think you saw. You know, And the Lord was like, no, I want you to pray for him, just like you would Pastor Dave. And I'm like, wow. Oh, even if you don't think they deserve it, you know what that did? It changed my heart. Like, I don't even know if something really changed within that person. And my goal is that it does, right? That seed will come and this person will come to know the Lord. But it really changed my heart and my perspective on how to pray. It changed my perspective on, I don't get to choose and who I determine is honorable, right? Like, who are we to say, you're honorable, you're not honorable, right? The Lord says that we are to love all, right? Amen. So here's the thing, what I want us to know too, is we all wear the same jersey. We wear the Christ jersey, right? I know some of you may wear the Eagles jersey, I think that was. Yes, right? Now, I don't know sports, so don't get mad at me. I just said it because I saw it on the news. But we all wear the same jersey. We are on the same team. Okay, so we want to respect and we want to honor each other. Another thing a world changer does is they rejoice at all times, right? I know. What does all times mean? All times. Is that the good times? It's the bad times. It is the worst. It's not even just the bad times. It is the worst of times. Rejoice means to be glad, exceedingly rejoice, to thrive. So remember I said even though Paul was in prison, he repeatedly told the church to rejoice. So he's writing to people who aren't in prison, and he's telling them to rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. He emphasized this joy several times. So what can we do? And this is what I believed. I love how my sister was saying earlier in worship about the choice in worship. She said that we would choose to worship. Here's the thing. We all go through life, and sometimes life stinks. It does. It really does. Anybody think life sometimes can stink? Yeah, it can, right? But we have a God that can take care and will take care of us. He will give us strength and he will give us endurance. So our trust, we heard that earlier, should not be in a situation or should not be in a resource like our job. Our trust should be in God. That is how we can rejoice. So you're not rejoicing and saying, oh, I just thank you, I lost my job. Rejoice, I lost my job. Rejoice. No, that's not what you're rejoicing in. What you're saying is, I rejoice because this was a resource and God is my source. I rejoice because, you know what, maybe this isn't where the Lord wanted me long term. I rejoice because I'm going to trust and I'm going to relax and I'm going to rest in him. Earlier in worship, there was a young little girl who was laying she was laying on the floor and she had a little pillow or a little blanket. I don't know if I see her right there. And she was just laying there. I mean, comfy. And I said, that is a picture of God's rest where we lay down. You know, she wasn't in agony. She wasn't in stress. She wasn't begging, right? We're not begging God, do something for me, God, do something for me, God, do something. No, I'm gonna rest in his presence. I'm going to trust him. And then I'm going to rejoice in all situations. When we rejoice and not complain, it can turn our situations around. And it will turn our hearts around. Again, perspective, how we look at things. Are we looking at it from a godly, a heavenly perspective? So again, when should we rejoice? All the time. Even when we don't want to. You ever say that? I don't want to. Does anybody want to go to the gym? One. Anyone else? Two. No, I mean, like, do you want to go, right? Two. Three. Four. Okay. Does anybody want to eat right? Okay. Does anybody want sugar? Right? Okay. You want a brownie, right? So sometimes, yeah. So sometimes what happens is we determine our actions based on what we want. Our want should not determine what we're going to do. Meaning, we have to have self-control, right? I don't want to go to the gym. But my body says, you should go to the gym. So then you go to the gym. God, I don't want to get up and pray at 5 o'clock in the morning. But the will of God and the purpose is that you should do that. Maybe there's a season for doing it. We have to get past our own want and will and submit to God's perfect will. That's probably the hardest part. Amen? Now, everybody's going to go to the gym after church today. After the decorations come down, though. All right? The other thing, so that's rejoicing, and that's getting past our want, right, and doing what is right. The next one is world changers talk to God. So remember I said earlier, this is just how I talk to the Lord. I talk to the Lord just like I talk to a friend. If I'm angry and I'm mad about something, guess what? I talk to him and I tell him, you know. Sometimes we try to sugarcoat things or we don't talk to the Lord because we're like, well, he already knows. I need to verbalize, right? I'm in my car and sometimes, like, I'll turn off the music and be like, now, you know, God, that was not right. That just was not right. Now, I will tell you, by the end of my conversations with the Lord, though, he's changing my heart. He's doing something. But there's value in being able to be transparent before the Lord. Even though he knows everything, it's still different when we verbalize it, when we say things. And so prayer is important. But how many of you know that prayer is a two-way conversation? Right? It should be a two-way conversation. It should not always be the Lord, okay, I need this, almost like a checklist, like a Santa list. It should not be that. It should be times where, though, when we're going and we're petitioning and maybe we're praying for others, we're interceding, that. But then there should be times where we're like, God, what is on your heart? What do you want me to do? God, who do you want me to bless? I mean, that's, when was the last time we asked God, what do you want? We go to God with our wants and our desires, and there's nothing wrong with that, but let's make sure it's a healthy balance. Let's make sure we're asking God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you see me doing? Right? Who do you want me to bless? Who? What is it that you want me to change in my life? What areas do you want me to discipline? Wow. Right? That's what a world changer does. Because then when you have that other side, that two-way communication, then you can do what he asks you to do. But if we're always going and saying, God, I need, but we're not saying, God, what do you want? What do you want? Then we're not open to doing what God wants us to do. And guess what? It's fun doing what God wants us to do. Maybe challenging, but it's fun. I remember this first time, you know, we were... I love to teach, okay? So I never had a problem. When we were doing school of ministry, we were doing prophetic. We were learning the prophetic. And at that time, I was like, okay, I'm not a prophetic person. We leave that up to the prophetic people. And the teachers do their teacher thing. This was my person. Anybody ever thought that? Yeah, right? That's how I thought. This was years ago. God totally wrecked and changed my way of thinking. And so they were encouraging us to go to people and just pray for them, random people. Now, I was at this time, don't judge me, okay, everybody? This is a judge-free zone, right, Todd? Judge-free zone. So at that time, I'm like, if you come to me for prayer, then that's how you initiate prayer, or family and friends, you know, you pray for, right? But going to someone and target a random person was a stretch for me. And so I'll never forget this time. I was in the checkout line, and, you know, we have been teaching this, and I'm like, I'm going to have to practice this at some time, right? And so this guy, he's checking me out, and I'm like, how are you doing, right? How many of you most of the time just want someone to say fine? But what happens when they say, well, and then you're like, oh, no, I just wanted to check out. I want to go home. You know what I mean? I don't have my church hat on, you know. And so he says, you know, he had to get surgery because of something going on in his eyes, and he was having trouble with vision. And immediately, it was like, pray for him. And I was like, no. It was like, pray for him, and I was like, no. Right? So guess what? I didn't. And I walked out of Target. I beat myself up in the parking lot, got back to my office at work, beat myself up there, and I was just like, oh, you know, I can't believe I failed the test, right? So about a week later, I go to Target, not thinking, getting something. Whose lane did I get in by accident? The same guy. And I just knew it was a setup that God was like, hey, here's another opportunity. You just take a retake. You know, he's like the king of retakes over and over and over and over, right? And you know what I did? I prayed for him. Okay? So that is, even if you're feeling like, I don't know about asking God what he wants me to do, because he may ask me to do something that's out of my comfort zone, and guess what? Yes, he will. It may be out of your comfort zone, but it's not out of his. And the Holy Spirit working and living inside of you is going to give you the power and the strength to do what you need to do. So then when you are fearful of, oh my goodness, I don't want to pray and ask him what he wants, because he may say, go to my neighbor's house. Whoa. Okay. He may say, I want you to call up this friend and pray for him. Or he may say, I want you to pay for the next 2 to 3 people in the line of Dunkin' Donuts behind you, pay for their bill. You know, these are the things that the Lord may ask us to do, but he's going to give us the ability to do it. He's going to give us the resources to do it. So open that line of communication. Start out by praising and thanking God in prayer. And then ask him, hey, Lord, what's on your heart? What's on your mind? What do you want me to do in my community? What do you want me to do in the office? What do you want me to do? And he will give you assignments, right? And then get excited about them. Get, like, so excited like this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray for somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to do it. Then what happens is that challenge then now becomes exciting. And once you start, you're going to be like, okay, give me something else. Oh, my goodness, give me something else. There is something that I have done, and I brought it up, and I'm not saying this to brag about it at all, but I'm going to share it with you to be open about it. So I started one day paying for people. So I like to go to Dunkin' Donuts, paying for people behind me, right? So I'd pay for one person, right? And then the Lord was like, do some more. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do two, right? And I'm like, I'm going to do three. And so the other morning I did, I think it was like for three or four people. And the line heard the manager inside saying, what is the holdup on the line? Right? And they were trying to like be like, because she's paying for everybody, right? Here is the thing. That one thing that I did, like the one thing with the beds, could have been a blessing for a person, a cup of coffee. You don't know what prayer or what need a person has at a given time that just your obedience, right, could bless someone. You never know. Someone could have been like, I was spending my last dollar or $2 on coffee. I mean, they shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, that could be it. Or it could be like, boy, I wish someone would bless me. Or I wish God never does anything for me. And it could be a cup of joe, guys. It could be a cup of joe. Or it could be anything. That's what I'm saying. Look at what are the random acts of how we call it in the world, the random acts of kindness. But what I think it is, I truly believe it's seeds that we plant for others to come into the kingdom of God. Amen? So two-way conversation. The other one is think right. World changers think right. Your personal thoughts determine your attitudes and actions. Your input determines your output. What goes in will come out. What you think about all the time will later on come out. How many times have you gotten into an argument with somebody and you just blow up and they're like, that must be what you're really thinking. Husbands, wives, you ever hear that? You're thinking that. And you're like, oh, well, I didn't mean to say that. But you have been thinking it, pondering it, right? We have to be careful of what goes in our minds. And we know that our minds are renewed by the word of God. He tells us exactly, think on these things. And we may be looking for a supernatural miracle, like for God to just come in and change our minds, right? I mean, that would be great, right? If everything, every deficiency that I would call, that would say in my life, right, that the Lord would just come in and fix, right? But that's not God. God wants free will, choice. And I don't understand why, right? Because as parents, we don't always give free will and choice to our kids, do we? We're like, oh, did you hear she just said no, my daughter? Oh, okay. So we're like, okay, we got to do it, and you got to do it my way, you know. But the Lord wants us to come to him willingly, right? He wants us to come to him and say, hey, I need help in this area. My thoughts aren't right in this area. Give me your perspective. And so the Lord says, think upon these things. I love these. In the scripture, it says, think about things that are true, loving, and speaking the truth. Absence of rumors and evil motives. You want me to say that one again? I'll say that one again. True. Loving and speaking the truth. Absence of rumors and evil motives. If you don't know firsthand, you can't verify it's true or not. Be careful when you're talking about evilness or rumors about people. Hey, I don't know firsthand. Sorry, I can't give an answer to that. I can't give an opinion or a thought because I don't know for sure. And I love this too. Be careful with evil motives. Here's the thing. We have to always do a self-inventory of ourselves and our thoughts. Come on, let's just be honest. There's sometimes that our motives may not be great. And so there's nothing wrong with, okay, God, check my motives. Am I doing this for the right reason? You know what I mean? Make sure that your motives for doing things and saying things are good. Having the last word. Are there any strong-willed people in here? Okay, so I'm a strong-willed person. Anyone like to have the last word? Oh, like, oh, not everybody. Anybody want to have the last word in a marital conversation? Or shy, like, I don't want my husband to know, I don't want my, yes. Yes, yeah, sometimes wanting to have the last word is not always good. I heard this guy say this at work one time. He said, choose your battles. Is this the hill you want to die on? That's what he used to say all the time, right? And I'm like, oh, like, you know, be careful. You don't always have to have the last word. You know, what are your motives? You don't always have to be the one proven right. The next one is noble. Think about noble things. Think about noble persons and deeds of good character. What is right? It means the good standards of God. Think on those things, his standards, his will. Things that are pure, things that are sacred, things that are modest, moral thoughts. Specifically, this is like crock pot here too, just for thinking. These are the ingredients that you need to use. This is how our minds are renewed by the Word of God. If you're not studying the Word of God, you will have icky thoughts. That's just the bottom line. But when you study and then you recite them, something happens. That word becomes root in you. And so I'm really big proponent on confessions, right? So you take the word. I don't believe that you just, this is just me, that you just read it. I believe you read it and you say it. And guess what? Then you read it and you say it. And then you read it and then you say it. You read it and you say it until it becomes a part of you. So if that means sticky notes, do it. If that means it's something that's repetitious that you do every morning, do it. If there's a certain situation that you're going on, you take that word, and that's how you fight your battles. Sometimes, you know, people will fight against each other, you know, and the scripture says we don't fight against flesh and blood. So the best way to battle or to fix a situation or to fight a situation is to use the word of God. Now, I'm not telling you to go to your friends and family or your neighbors and start declaring the word of God over them. You've got to be careful. But I'm just saying, you as a person in your prayer time and as you're seeking the Lord, that's what you should do. Saying the word gives it power. It gives it power. If you're trying to work on your marriage, right, and you have different scriptures and you're saying it, you may not be that perfect wife or perfect husband tomorrow. But the more you keep saying it, the more that word keeps changing you. One day, your husband or your wife is going to be like, who are you? They're going to be like Adam looking at Eve for the first time. God is good. Right? And so that's what the word comes to do. It comes to transform us. It comes to change our thinking and our perspective. So here's the recap of what we've talked about today, right? We're all called to be world changers. Look at the person next to you and say, you are definitely a world changer. Okay, now you guys said it so nice and sweet. I want you to say it with like gusto, like you believe it, right? I want you to look at them and say, you are definitely a world changer. I like that. I like the pointing. That's right. And so it is advantageous of us to make sure that we coach each other into that. That when each other, when we find a brother or sister not doing so well, you coach them into that. No, you are a world changer. I am a world changer. He's given me influence. He's given me opportunity, and guess what? I'm going to use it. And try. Even if you fail, like remember my Target experience, guess what? He'll give you another retest. He'll give it to you over and over and over again. And I don't believe that God looks at us like, oh my goodness, you did it again. Oh, when are you ever going to get it? You don't listen. I don't see that as the Father. You know, I saw this video one time of a little baby falling, learning how to walk, right? And think about how we talk to our kids, right? We say, come on, you can do it. Oh, it's so cute. Get back up. Try to do it again. Oh, you're so cute. And they're falling over and over and over and over again. You don't see a parent saying, you better get up. That's so stupid. I don't know why you couldn't get up. We don't do that, right? We don't do that for our own children. So why do we think that the Lord would treat us that way if we're trying and we make mistakes along the way? He wants us to try. And the more we try, the more we get confident. And then once you get confident, he's going to challenge you again. Then we're going to try. Then we're going to get comfortable. And then he's going to say, let's challenge you again. And you know what that does? It builds so much spiritual muscle and strength and endurance when we continue to just go after it over and over and over again. When you go to lift weights, not that I really know, but this is what I'm told, that it actually rips away at the tissue, right? And then, Todd, tell me, right? And then you have to, and then it has to heal itself. That's the reason why they say you do legs one day. Anybody, do I have anybody who lifts weights who tells me I'm saying the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Thank you. Amen. Or he goes like this, like it sounds okay. But that's why they tell you that it has to heal and it has to repair, right? But that does not mean that you don't stop going back. It means that you let the legs heal and then you work on the arms the next day. And then after that, then you go back to the legs and then back to the arms. So what happens is when we go through these challenges and these struggles and we rely on God, right? We rejoice. We choose to talk to him. We choose to worship. And we choose to do the things he asks us to do. It helps us to become this strong body, which is an example to so many people. Amen? So come on and stand with me. Is it possible? Can we sing that one song, The Chains Broken? Is that? Okay. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to sing this song again. It just ministered to me. And I hope that the message has blessed it. Bless anyone today? Okay, do you feel challenged? Everybody's going to the gym? No. No. That's right, we're going to the street. Did somebody say that? They're going up to swim later on. So my challenge is this for you. It's for you to ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Don't be scared to ask him. Don't be scared of what the answer is. Or you may actually already know the answer. Some of you know the answer, but maybe you need to dust that off the shelf. Maybe you haven't done anything with it. I know what it feels like to have a prophecy or to have a promise and it not be fulfilled right away. I just got one like several months ago and the word was like, now, the Lord says, right? And I got all excited. I'm like, what does now mean? Now means right now, right? So I'm like, now means like tomorrow. Tomorrow's now. And it wasn't tomorrow, right? And I'm like, but God, this is a confirming word. So confirming now means, okay, it's a week now. Wasn't a week now. And I remember thinking like, okay, God, what does now mean? What does this now mean now? Or does now mean 2 months from now? Or what does now mean? And Pastor Dave, I was talking to him about now, and he said, now means more like behold, watch what I'm going to do. So it wasn't necessarily in the scripture that it was timing versus be alert because it's coming. And so I believe that's what the Lord is saying for each and every one of you. Now, you're going to see it. So whatever dreams that you had or things that maybe you haven't done or maybe you maybe lost some energy, I declare that the Lord is going to re-energize that today. It's almost like he's going to give you like a jump, right? And it's not because of anything you've done wrong. It's just sometimes life. Life happens and struggles happen. And sometimes it can diminish our faith and our stance and our trust. But I believe that the Lord is saying, I want you to trust me again. I want you to trust me again in your marriage. He says, trust me again on your job. And he says, trust me again with your dreams. Guys, he is so worthy and he is so faithful. I am a living testament of his faithfulness. I'm a living testament of struggle, but when you can get to awesomeness in God. I'm a living testament of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but guess what? Fearing no evil takes you to high places. I'm a testament of that. I'm not speaking about something I don't know. I'm not one of those preachers. I only preach about what I know and what the Lord has showed me. But we're going to sing this song, and I'm going to ask if there was any area in your life that maybe you're like, I want to trust more, or I want to have that two-way conversation more. I want you to come down. We're going to worship, and then we're going to pray together. So if anything touched you or you feel like, you know what, I need to be challenged in this area, I want you to come down. We're going to sing this worship song, but if you come down, then we're going to pray. Amen. So God, I just declare every single person that is here, God, we surrender anew to you today. We surrender anew to you today. We declare, God, that we will pursue relentlessly your glory. Relentlessly, God, that we will chase after you like never before. I declare that every single person in here has a realm of influence that you are calling us to impact. I declare that we will turn this city around. I declare that we will turn this region around. And I declare that we are going to do it because our hearts and our minds are fixed on you. God, I declare in the name of Jesus, there is nothing, no thing that can hold us back. There is no thing that can stop us. There is no thing that can deter us. So God, I speak life to every single promise, every single prophetic word that has gone over this house and every individual. I declare that it is so in Jesus' name. I come against anything that would try to hinder itself or go against the word of God. Your word is true and you are faithful. We can stand on it and we can rely on it. Yes. So God, I declare that we trust you. We trust you no matter what. We trust you no matter the circumstance or no matter the situation because you are faithful and you are certain. So God, I just declare that we are re-energized by your power. We are re-energized by the Holy Spirit that comes to bring production, to produce good fruit. I declare that we are good fruit in the name of Jesus. I declare that we are a crock pot right now, God, that you put several of all of us in as different ingredients that we are going to be able to impact this community and impact our families, God, that you're saying, I need your gift and I need your gift. I declare everyone in. I declare everyone in the game in Jesus' name. We declare there's no superstar. We are all superstars in the name of Jesus. I declare that we all have the tenacity. We are all running the race that you have before us. So God, I just declare over our thoughts that they are being transformed right now. And even as transformation, it's not transforming something old and just turning it into something. You are transformed. We will look brand new. Our thoughts will be brand new. God, give us the ability and the faith to rejoice always in all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because God, you are still God and you are on the throne. So God, we thank you. I thank you for every single person here. And I thank you, God, that we are open for challenges. We are open for holy challenges, assignments that you're going to give us, but you're going to give us the power and the resources to accomplish everything that we need to do. God, I just declare that we take that with faith, that you have nothing but good for us. Nothing but good for us. So God, we say thank you. Now come on, church. We say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we say thank you for your glory. God, we say thank you for your grace. And God, we say thank you that you trust us. Yes. You trust us to house your glory. You trust us to house your presence, God. We declare that we are the walking church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Lord, I just pray that as we go from this place today, that we would take the seed that you have planted in our hearts. Thank you for what you've done. And Lord, I pray that this would be a prayer of ours every day of our lives, not just in church on Sunday morning, but when we wake up to go to school or to go to work or to take care of our children, Lord, that we would pray, Lord, show us your glory. Show us your glory, Lord, and let our hearts be holy ground as we trust you and as we live for you, Lord. And I just thank you, even as I just, this word in my heart, Lord, that we do not despise small beginnings, Lord. Things that start small, those world-changing things that start small. Lord, even you, when you came as a baby. And so, Lord, we just say thank you, and we say increase our faith, Lord, that you will use us, Lord, to change things around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed today and this week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.